Thanks for listening to another episode of How Good Is Rugby League?
We're stoked to be back for season 5, and this year we're coming back bigger and better than ever.
That's right, Michael. You've been busy over the off-season. We're now on Instagram, X, YouTube, and TikTok. And of course, you can listen to us on all podcasting platforms.
Now it's time for another episode of How Good Is Rugby League? Hello and welcome to another edition of How Good Is Rugby League? My name is Michael Corbin, and joining me on the same amount of competition points as South Sydney is Emmanuel Pinkus. Emmanuel, how are you?
Sad and true. Michael,
yep.
What the hell did I watch on Friday? I don't know. I don't even know. I ranted so much last week, hoping to manifest something as though someone somewhere was going to listen that has influence or plays or something. And I sat there and I had the same face as every other Souths fan. And there weren't that many, to be honest. I don't think there are as many as other years. There was no build up. And sorry, we're still in the intro. Yeah. How are you?
We'll get to South.
How are you?
I'm well.
Yeah, you'd be riding on a high.
Doing a bit better than you at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
My team's doing all right. Big weekend of rugby league.
Mm.
Round 3 is normally the big. They put all the big matchups on round 3 because it's, you know, just into the season, the hype at the start of a season's dropped down, but then bang, here are all these grand final rematches, Parramatta versus Manly.
Excellent game.
Right. Fantastic game. Roosters versus Souths. Mm-hmm. You're hoping it'd be an excellent game.
Yeah.
Right. But the talking point out of this week.
Yes.
Is the injury crisis that happened after it.
Yeah.
Just.
Carnage.
Just an insane amount of injuries. Now, let me bring this up here. The number of injuries that we had. So, Payne Haas, he's out 3 to 4 weeks.
Gone.
Reece Walsh, broken eye socket, out 3 to 4 weeks, facial fracture. Brendan Piakura, ankle sprain at training, he's out. Greg Marju, fractured wrist, he's out. Mitch Moses, broken foot, 8 to 10 weeks. Big one. Nathan Cleary, another big one, hamstring strain, probably going to be out this week, maybe back next week. Highly doubt it
because
he's got to bye the week after. Lindsay Collins, hamstring, 2 to 4 weeks. Scott Sorensen, MCL sprain, 4 to 6 weeks. Toby Rudolph, syndesmosis injury, 8 weeks. Royce Hunt, calf strain, during while warming up to come onto the field from the sideline, 2 to 3 weeks. Dalvin Cook, concussion. Tane Tuapiki, concussion. Tino Fasuamalaawi.
Tragic. So ACL bad. Tear. The poor guy. Poor oh, my guy. Gosh.
Just one of the worst injuries. Ruben Cotter, ankle sprain. Carl Labor, ankle sprain. Tom Chester, unknown. Sandon Smith, elbow. Tommy John surgery, basically. Tommy John injury, which is your elbow. Bryce Cartwright, rib fracture, 6 weeks. Cam Murray, limped off at training, ankle injury.
What?
Oh, knee bursitis, sorry. Knee
when?
Bursitis. Today.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
I saw him on Sunday.
Jam Murray, knee bursitis.
He wasn't limping then.
Billy Smith, ankle sprain. Jack Whiten, knee issue. You still here?
No.
Anyone else still listening? That was a good 2 minutes of me reading off injuries.
Kikau? Was he on your list just then?
No.
Yeah, so niggles in the knee.
Jesus.
And possible hyperextension of the elbow. I heard it on 100% Footy last night. Is a Jesus. Maybe to play.
My God. Just
now, this adds carnage. To some comprehensive names already not on the field, including Munster, Adam Reynolds.
Reynolds is back this week.
Reynolds back.
Yes.
Campbell Graham. The Roosters have a few as well. There's a lot of missing players.
Yeah.
Just everywhere.
Yeah. And it's changed the way that a lot of the, like, you'd think that the games would play out this week because of it.
Mm.
Right? Big games this week as well. You got Penrith Roosters. Obviously, no Cleary, no Collins, no Fisher Harris, who was injured last week, no Sorensen, no Sandon Smith. So, like, there's big injuries in that game. Broncos versus Cowboys, a lot of injuries in that game.
Yeah.
Obviously mentioned Walsh, Haas, Reynolds is back. Cotter's going to be injured. So, just, like, these big games that matter, we're not getting the best talent on the field, which is a problem.
Yeah, and it's the Broncos, Broncos will play the Cowboys later in the season, but you know, this would have been a really good test for the Roosters to play a Penrith.
Yeah, I'm actually disappointed.
Yeah, so am I.
I wanted to see whether we could handle
Penrith.
Can we match Penrith?
And as you said to me yesterday, it's completely switched the markets on this game, as you'd expect. But I think the Roosters will take the 2 points if they get them. But I feel like they would have wanted the challenge, and it would have been really good for the rest of the competition to really see where they're at.
Yeah. The other thing is Origin implications.
Yeah.
So like Tino, obviously out for Queensland for the rest of the year. Right? Yeah. Reece Walsh is going to be injured probably 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, right? Can Caelan Ponga play himself into form at that point?
Yeah.
Right? The two front runners I had for 7 and 6 for the Blues were Mitch Moses and Nathan Cleary.
Mm.
Now, Cleary should be back. He should be fine. Who's going to take that?
But if this hamstring is longer than expected, or they preserve it, which, Mike, hamstring injuries need to be treated so carefully. And he had a niggle at the back of last year too.
They stick around. They don't. They're not cut and dry hamstrings.
No.
They can go at any point. So there are some big implications for what's happened just this round.
Yeah, it's so hard to pinpoint how you deal with it as well. Like the game must go on, but it means that these big games that are kind of set back a couple of rounds, as you said, because teams are hitting their straps. There's a couple of lingering suspensions from last year and players take a couple of extra weeks off.
So we saw how bad round one of football is. Well, like you saw it,
and teams are just sort of slowly picking up to a normal pace, and then this happens, and it's like, oh dear.
Yeah. Okay. That's bad news out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the how good.
Yeah.
Two teams we're hitting on.
Yeah, two really good performances from two clubs in Sydney that have really underperformed, the Tigers and Canterbury.
Yep.
Both with wins that really weren't expected. Well, for the Tigers, was not expected. The Bulldogs,
it was expected. Yeah.
Yeah, I tipped them too. But the win, I think the magnitude.
Yeah, no one thought it would be 32-0.
Exactly, the nil. I think the nil is better than the 32. Obviously, they've had problems scoring points, but any time you hold a team to nil, it's just something to be so proud of.
Defense is a mentality. It means 100%. you're going in with the right mentality into these games. And we've said it, like the first two losses for the Dogs this year, they were gritty.
Yeah.
They were fighting, and it just got away from them. Right, and there were some bad calls here and there, whatnot. But this week, they put it all together. They got the points, and their defense held up. And it's a really good sign.
Yeah, it is good. And I just, there has been a lot of criticism about Seraldo, who designed the defense at Penrith, and you know how he's been able to bring it. And I think it really shows that it is working. And I know we're talking about the Titans, but Canterbury have seemed far more cohesive and trusting of each other, which I think is just the key. And we've spoken already this year in the context of Souths about defence, but I think it's just a sign of like a group that's trusting each other and not having to come in because they don't believe the guy on the inside will be able to do the job and stuff like that. And just working together as a unit and backing yourself and having self-belief.
It's also buying into the system.
Exactly.
Which is something that we'll talk about them soon. The Titans, I don't think they've done yet.
No.
They haven't bought in to Des Hasler's system. And it will take time.
Mm.
It will take a lot. It could take a lot of time. Seraldo had to clean out the Dogs. Gus had to clean out the Dogs to get this roster that they wanted with the right mentality, right? So, yeah, I'm very impressed by the Bulldogs. They got a good test this week against South Sydney, which we'll hit on soon.
Yeah.
Loved. One of the things that I loved out of their mindset was anytime Tanner Boyd was about to kick the ball, kick out, unleashed, Arnie were there.
Yep.
They were there and they were in his face, and Tanner Boyd just had no room to breathe. He was in a straitjacket all game.
Yeah,
and that set the mentality. This is how we're going to defend you. The new rules allow us to be able to be in your face and not hurt you. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Great, great work. And Tim Bright didn't have a great game.
No.
It was a bit quiet, you know? Karaz was amazing. Multicultural round at Belmore.
But that is a sign of a good team, Mike. Yeah. If they win at that level and your best player has a quiet game, that means everyone else is doing their job.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good signs. Really good signs.
Yeah.
Tigers.
Yes. Very good win. 32-6. Very happy for Benji. Obviously, Cronulla you know, we were talking about them as very impressive. They, their defense up until this point, we talked about another one, the defensive coach from the Roosters. We thought finally it's sticking, you know, that they'd conceded, I think, only 16 points the first two rounds. And then the Tigers were just excellent. And, you know, as we'd spoken about before, Api Korosau, previously it was him just doing the work and no one following. And yeah, this time he's starting to get some people that are supporting him and going with him. And you can see a team mentality. And, you know, the Tigers had a win like this last year, remember, against Penrith. And you know, it was still not a great season for them, but it was just those little wins that give you hope. And this was a 32-6 victory. It was Benji's first as a first grade coach. It was not what anyone expected.
It was at Leichhardt.
It was at Leichhardt, you know, which we'll talk about as well. But I just think it was really good win for the club. Yeah. It sort of gets the monkey off Benji's back, but shows that he knows what he's doing. It wasn't a lucky win.
Yeah.
It was a comprehensive win against a highly regarded side.
It was a good win. Now, look, Sharks have injuries and we'll touch on them soon. But the 9-6-1 for me for Tigers were amazing. Buller, awesome.
Yep.
Appy, you mentioned, was incredible. Had gastro.
Yeah, I know.
Right, one bad hit and he's will be dangerous, right? Lockie Galvin looks like he's played 100 first grade games, which is insane for a kid who's the second game on the park. He looked amazing. And he is my front runner for rookie of the year already. Like, if he keeps up this level of play, I can't see anyone touching this kid. Yeah. He looks fantastic. Aiden Caesar, steady head in the halves as well.
That's all you need.
Really good. And you know who looked great as well? Justin Oldham.
Yep.
A lot of meters, Mike.
Like, yeah, you know, you get a bit of confidence and suddenly the players that you don't think much of suddenly look better because all they need to worry about is doing their job.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not a bad player, but you give someone the invite. Like at Melbourne, he was fine because he was literally all he had to do, his job was made very simple by that spine. Then you take someone out of that environment that works. And this is why I think Kikau, Burton have struggled coming out of Penrith is because they've been expected to, this is the team, work it, make it work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Completely agree. Okay. So Tigers, Dogs.
Yes.
How good? How bad? We're going to do the two teams who haven't won a game yet. It's Titans and the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yes.
So Gold Coast Titans.
Yeah.
I mentioned Titans before, not buying into Des Hasler's mentality. I don't know how long that's going to take, but there is some problems there at the moment. They've obviously now lost Tino for the season, who is probably their best player. Actually, he is their best player. Maybe Fifita comes back this week, but I just thought that Kieran Foran didn't do enough to relieve his half partner on the weekend. No. Maybe that's because of a groin injury, but like, there was nothing there. Thought Brian Kelly was terrible. They haven't. This doesn't look like it does has the team.
Do you know what's really interesting, Mike? Is that when they got rid of Holbrook, I almost thought the mentality was we need a premiership winning coach to come in and everything is there and the premiership coach needs to kind of just apply their knowledge and experience to take that team to the next level. Like Wayne Bennett with Dragons, right? That team was always there and he just came in, polished, and did what he needed to do. But this is, and the way you're talking about buying into Des's system and all that, it sounds like a complete recreation.
Yeah.
Like
that's what I'm worried about.
And this is, you know, everyone was expecting Titans to go to the next level. There were positive signs there. Like Holbrook did so well comparatively to get them to a reasonable position. And then the expectation was that Hasler will be the one that just gets them into the eight and beyond. But this is, I don't know what to make of this. This is, you know, and with all due respect to Hasler, like he's won his two premierships. He's done a great job, but he's left Manly badly twice. He's left Canterbury twice. And he's, I know it's very early days and the guy can coach. He really can coach, but like there's expectation when you're a premiership winning coach too, isn't there?
Yeah, of course there is. There was the expectations that Titans would be pushing for a top eight spot this week, this year, and now they are favourites to win the spoon.
Yeah.
AJ Brimson, just 9 touches of the football, not enough. I know he's this whole AJ Brinson at center thing, I don't think it's working.
Yeah.
I really don't think it's working. He needs the ball more. Whether that's move him to six, four or to seven, I just don't think Tanner Boyd is a quality, is a at this point in time, is a first grade quality half. And yeah, there's just, some changes need to be made, I think. Jaden Campbell comes back this week, which will help.
Yeah.
Fifita might come back this week, but
so still. That, like, they've been missing in fairness, but, and Tino is a huge loss, but it, you know, it's just such a big score.
Yeah, it is.
Like, and so it's early in the season.
To nil as well. Yeah. Like, Titans, the one thing Titans were always able to do is score points.
Yeah.
So that's a concern.
Yeah. Now, speaking of concerning, Mike, I went to that game last week, yep. as I just said before, and every South supporter was there because it was, you know, back at SFS and everything, but no one looked remotely confident. No one looked excited. There was hardly any build-up during the week, the whole week taken over, of course, with Latrell's comments. And the atmosphere was flat. It wasn't the quality of a game that we've just come to expect from these two teams. And obviously Souths did not hold up their end of the bargain there. And it was just so disappointing. Like I hadn't watched them live for a while, for a long while actually. And, you know, what I saw live was just how disjointed they are and the just no communication, no cohesion and how flat they are. They start every set coming out of their own end, just completely flat and lacking any energy and effort. And, I don't know if this is because they lack confidence or what it is, but you can't give yourself room to run 10 meters forward if you're going to stand that flat and don't run in onto the ball. Like I looked at Manly score their opening try or their second try on Sunday afternoon. They spread it inside their 20 and ran length of the field. And it's like, I don't understand why football teams don't try and be more creative in that sense. But, you know, you don't give yourself a chance to start. This is just purely on football. Okay, and then on defensive efforts, just so underwhelming, like so underwhelming, like no control of the football, like, you know, the little effort areas and the kicks that don't seem to have any purpose and no one knows what's happening and no one chasing and no one supporting and Cam Murray makes a break and no one is there to run off him. And it's just, it is basics. It is a team that's lacking confidence, but a team that's also clearly not talking to each other. And it just seems from above, it seems divided. It yeah. seems like there are players that are trying to do things themselves, excluding others, is actually how it looked from above. And it was just, and I just think the whole idea, and we are a team that's always been able to score points too, and we can hardly string it together. And we looked panicky and we looked desperate. And that again comes back to the halfback. But this is the time where, you know, you need your origin players and your senior players and your experienced premiership winning players to step up and take control. Take control of managing the team and getting the best out. Like this is a team, go through it. What, 7, 8, 9 of them have played some sort of representative football.
Yeah.
There's experience in that team. Like the talent is there. I watched Souths in the early 2000s. They didn't have any representative players. They had no talent. But this, this is just suddenly like that talent doesn't disappear.
No, but effort can.
Effort has disappeared. They've got laziness and complacency is what it is. And other teams have trained harder, but that they have. Like you look at the Bulldogs, okay, and you look at the Tigers. They want it more. They're hungrier.
I agree.
And the Roosters in Penrith and Melbourne, who constantly and consistently make the top eight. And, you know, obviously Penrith more recently than the other two. But this, and we spoke about this with Cleary, the standards that he sets for himself. And it's like he's won one more premiership than Mitchell. And look how badly he wants it more.
Yeah. I agree. Look, the way, and for me watching that game for South Sydney, there was two players that cared. It was Cam Murray, who literally had to do everything. And it was Keon Kolomatangi.
Yeah.
I didn't think Dean, what's his name?
Hawkins.
Dean Hawkins had a bad game.
No.
Right? He actually put in a really good kick. That one kick that was a low, fast ball from one sideline to the other. And Tane Milne was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
Absolutely nowhere to be seen. I think one problem South Sydney has always had is when you – so when Roosters' game plan was to kick it to Latrell in his corner. So they had to work it out of his corner.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of the teams you then see sets tackles 2, 3, and 4 are your center, your two wingers, and your center.
Yeah.
Right? AJ's not good at that.
No.
Tane Milne's not good at that.
No.
And then Jack Whiten's first game at center, and Isaiah Tass, he's fine at it, right? But you haven't got that. You haven't got your wingers aren't players that are averaging 180 to 230 meters a game. No. It all relies on your forward pack.
Yeah.
And then your forward pack is constantly changing.
Yeah.
Wally played 22 minutes.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be your up and comer. Dallas Duncan played 22 minutes.
But
he's your up and comer.
Yeah.
But like and 1 week Jack Mitchell's in the starting lineup, the next week he's dropped. Jacob Gagai in the starting lineup, dropped. There's no consistency with all the fringe players, but the cornerstones of the team are never held accountable.
Yeah. But this is the problem I have with, you know, the back five is that we know that they don't make the meters. So if they don't make the meters on sets on plays 1 and 2 of the set or plays 1, 2, and 3, why then are we throwing the flattest passes ever on plays 4, 5, and 6? It just logically, you can't get yourself beyond the 30.
Yeah.
And then we don't have the kicking game to do anything with it. So we end up playing the whole game in our half and we're kicking it to Teddy on the 40 on the full. But the most concerning stat for me is 112 games conceded through the first three rounds of this season is actually the second most.
112 points, yeah.
112 points through the first three games, second most we've ever conceded.
In a three-game span, yeah.
In a three-game span. So 114 in 1995 and 112 in 1994 and 2024. Yeah. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And, you know, like everyone kind of goes, okay, we conceded, we lost 50-0 and we lost 54-10 in 2021, still made the grand final. Fine. But that can't paper over them either. Like even in that year, there were signs.
Yeah.
Like there are signs that cracks in the defense. And I know not every team has a great game, but that wasn't a game where they lost by 10 and they weren't in it.
It's hard to find positives.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find where it goes.
Yeah.
Like what turns you around? That's the thing. It's like you have a game against the Bulldogs this weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Good Friday. Bulldogs are going in with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Souths are going in with no confidence. Souths are the favourites. You look at these two teams at the very start of a season, everyone's tipping South Sydney over the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You look at it in round four, not the same story.
No.
Just because of the mentality of these teams at the moment. And it's Demetria. For me, it's Demetria. I think he's lost this team.
I don't know.
I think he's lost his team.
The thing about that loss, Mike, and like I went to that game, okay, and even before the game, I was like, it's not who wins, it's how much are we losing by, okay? And to be honest, I didn't expect us to win. I thought 28-10, 24-14, but 48-6, no one can turn around and say, there's minor issues. Like
no.
A loss like we just talked about in the context of the Titans, like a loss that big so early in the season for a team with that much talent. Like this isn't like a 2020 Broncos or a 2022 Tigers. This is a team that was sitting on top of the ladder last year and in that time has lost Blake Taff and Liam Knight and has added Jack Whiten.
Mm.
How? And it's inexplicable. I don't think Dimitri is the problem. I don't know if he is able to fix whatever the problem is.
Look, this is the thing. And I think it kind of gets glossed over because you did have that first successful season with him where you made the preliminary finals with Ilias at 7.
Mm.
Teams that lose Wayne Bennett tend to struggle after.
Yeah.
Because he's often replicated, never emulated. Is that the saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The other thing I have with it, Mike, is who coaches them anyway?
Oh, that's the thing.
Like John Morris is now assistant to Benji. Ben Hornby's there. I don't think Souths need a Ben Hornby. Souths need a name. Like, that's the nature of the club.
Yeah.
It needs a name.
Yeah.
It needs a, I don't know.
Sam Burgess?
No.
Wayne Bennett?
I'd rather Madge.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll leave the how bads for now, and we will preview round 4 of the NRL competition. How'd you go on tipping this week?
I got 6.
Same. I got Tigers wrong, which I think almost everyone got wrong.
Yep.
And I tipped the Storm.
And that's okay.
A lot closer than what I thought it would be.
Yeah, I tipped Manly. I tipped Manly, but I got Newcastle right.
Yeah.
So I think they were the two games that probably decided everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone tipped Cronulla.
Yeah.
Okay. Round 4, as we said, Easter long weekend, so a couple of traditional games. But Thursday night would be an absolute cracker if it was, you know, full squads.
I still think it is going to be a really good game. I just don't think that.
I'd love to go.
I think Penrith is going to show up for this regardless of whether Cleary is there or not.
Yeah, I'd love to go as a neutral, actually, to this one. Sammy Walker's been cleared,
yep.
Which is exciting for him after his HIA last week. So Keary's also back after serving his 11 days. So full strength in the halves for the Roosters. Lindsay Collins is out.
Is that full strength?
It's not.
I like what I saw out of Stanton Smith. Discussion for a later there.
Okay. Only a Roosters fan could go 3-time premiership winning half. Is not full strength, right?
You hold up. Now you're defending Keary. What kind of slander you've thrown his way on this podcast?
Well, why are you slandering him?
I just really liked what I saw out of Sandon Smith.
Okay.
I really did.
Lindsay Collins is out with a hamstring, and Terrell May is the incoming prop, and Egan Butcher has been added to the bench. For Penrith, as Mike said, Cleary's out, Scott Sorensen's out. Brad Schneider is the new number 7 in his first game back in the NRL. Luke Garner is promoted to start in the back row, while Maverick is in for action.
Mav.
Yes.
Mark Geyer,
1991, grand final hero,
yeah.
Will make his NRL debut on the same turf as the 91 grand final. Good game,
same
this
turf,
one.
Been relayed
and knocked down. Yeah. Thanks, Gladys.
Yeah, really good game. I was watching the game at the pub with a few of my mates, and they were giving me shit for this, but I kept saying every time Dom Young touched the ball, he's so fast. And honestly, I was listening to Robbo's press conference, and he was talking about how Dom has told Joey Manu and his halves and Tedesco, like, this is where he wants the ball. This is, like, he wants the ball in this spot so that he knows that that's, like, when he can reach his top speed.
Really?
And it's just, like, little things like that where it's, like, he's come in with a game plan of, I want to get the ball at this point so that when I accelerate, I'm around my defender.
Is that what
point.
We saw the other night with that floater about 20 out?
Maybe. So, yeah, loved what I saw out of Dom Young. Love what I've seen out of Radley. And Brandon Smith this year. Tedesco is second on the Dally M leaderboard. He looked amazing.
After Nico,
yes. I'm going to go the Roosters because Cleary's out. If Cleary was playing, I would actually tip Penrith.
Yeah.
But no Cleary, Roosters. I still think it'll be a really close game. Penrith, we've seen them play without Nathan Cleary, and they're still a very good team.
Yeah, all eyes on Luai.
Yeah.
Okay. Souths host the Bulldogs on Friday, our first home game of the year. Jason Demetriou has not made mass changes. He's moved Cook back to the starting side. Havili has been dropped, and Michael Cheekham and Shaq Mitchell joined the 17 with Kepi relegated to the reserves. Might have to thank Seabold for that hospital pass in Kepi. And for the Dogs, Cam Serrato has named an unchanged 17. Josh Adokar is listed in number 23 and might sneak in, and Bronson Cherry is in 19. Big game. I expect a big crowd for this one.
Yeah, I expect a big crowd as well. Easter Show crowd should be out there as well.
Yeah.
I thought Connor Tracy was fantastic on the wing as well. Blake Wilson was great. Like, Bulldogs, really good signs. And, I don't know, South's middle forwards have been underwhelming and Bulldogs have struggled with the middle forwards all year, just depth-wise. So maybe it won't be as big an issue for them this week. I'm going the Bulldogs.
Yeah. I'm expecting a big game from Stephen Crichton. Okay, Friday night.
He's playing up against, he'll be up against Tass.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Friday night, Broncos host the Cowboys at Suncorp. Reece Walsh is out, as we've said. Tristan Saylor is his replacement. Adam Reynolds returns from knee injury, so Jock Madden makes way. Jaden Hunt comes in for Piakura. Corey Oates comes onto the bench for his first NRL game since round 27 last year, and Tapau drops to the reserves. And for the Cowboys, Zach Labart returns in the centres after being a late withdrawal with an ankle injury last week, and Tom Chester reverts to 18th man. Brisbane will be very happy to have Reynolds back just for a bit of stability, but going to be missing Reece Lightning.
Yeah, no Reece, no Haas, no Piakura. I'm going to go the Cowboys, who are the only undefeated team left in the competition.
Yeah.
3-0. Now, their competition hasn't been ever versed, had the toughest schedule as of yet. This is probably their biggest challenge, but they're also versing a depleted Broncos side. So,
yeah.
I'm going to tip the Cowboys here. Scott Drinkwater, amazing on the weekend. Val Holmes had a really good game. And, yeah, just good signs. Good signs from the Cowboys. I think that I didn't have them making the eight to start the year. And this is something that I think we need to do is maybe about week eight, week nine, we reevaluate who we think will be in the top eight at the end of the season because it's obviously changed. I definitely don't have the Titans or the Dolphins in there anymore. But Cowboys, I think, pushing this strong start will definitely help them make the eight.
You got Souths in there?
I did have Souths in there.
Would you have them now?
Probably not.
Saturday afternoon, always a good game, this one. Dragons and Manly at Wynn Stadium. Manly brought back to down to earth last week after their red-hot start. Parramatta chased them down. Number of changes for the St. George with Francis Molo, Jacob Little and Jaden Sewer all back on deck. DeBellin, Marchke and RFM all move into the interchange bench. Selle is back from a hamstring injury on the bench. Olzine, Molo and Fifita all drop out of the side. No changes for Manly. Tommy Talau is listed among the reserves as he looks to return from an ankle injury. And Sipley has served his suspension for a crusher but is unable to force his way into the pack. So he is among the reserves. Last week, Dragons were down 4-0, then they were up 18-4, and then they lost, 46-18?
46-24. Yeah.
Just
another bad second half for them.
Yeah.
After being down 10-0 against the Dolphins and conceding 28 points in the second half. That's a concern. That's a big concern for my eyes is what's going on at halftime that you can't come back out and deliver.
Yeah. I actually think this is a bit of a danger game for Manly because last week they put in so much effort to that start and Parramatta just
held in
and, you know, Dragons have that forward pack. They've got Ben Hunt and it's going to be Ben Hunt and Cherry Evans just end to end. But I think if Ben Hunt can sort of control that game like Moses did, there is a potential for an upset here.
That was the thing in that game. It was Mitchell Moses with a broken foot.
Yeah.
Kicked.
Yeah, he did. He did to Cherry Evans what Cherry Evans does to everyone else.
Yeah, he was amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, he did a really good job in just turning that big Manly pack around, got them tired, and they just...
The offloads as well. Yeah. We'll talk about that, but the offloads, I think, killed Manly. I'm going to go Manly in this one. Okay. I think that on paper, they're the better team. And, worrying signs for the Dragons after that great first round win against the Titans team that looks terrible. Manly.
Okay, speaking of Titans, they host the Dolphins on Saturday night on the Gold Coast. So Oh, real Queensland derby this weekend.
Yep.
So some good news for the Gold Coast with Campbell named to return at fullback and David Fifita a good chance of making his comeback. As being included 18th man. For the Dolphins, Ray Stone returns from concussion and replaces Jared Wallace on the bench in the only change to the round to the 17, which hammered the Dragons in round two. The bye last week means Cody Nikorima is good to go after picking up a head knock in round two, and he'll once again partner Katoa in the halves with O'Sullivan in the reserves. Well-rested Titans and well-rested Dolphins and a Titans team thinking, what the hell is going on?
So teams are 0-2 off the bye this year so far.
Is that right?
0-3? 0-2. 0-2 off the bye this year. I'm going to go the Dolphins.
Mm. It's the opposite to what it was last year.
Well, look, the Tigers had their first game off the bye, and then Titans had their second game off the bye. So,
yeah.
Bit different to last year.
Yeah, okay. Warriors Knights, Sunday afternoon. This will be a good game.
Where is it? Auckland?
It is. Yep, at Go Media Stadium. Tuapiki is out with concussion, so the club is onto their third choice fullback. Sounds like the Roosters, happens to be a pretty useful one in Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
Also very similar to the Roosters.
That move brings Adam Pompey back into the centres, and on the bench there is a big in with Niokore set to play his first game of the year. Dylan Walker, ankle is named, on the bench, and Wade Egan is a good chance of returning at hooker. And for the Knights, Leo Thompson's one-game ban means Daniel Saifidi is elevated into a starting role. Cogger is again the preferred number seven, with Hastings shaping to run out with the reserve grade side who are playing in New Zealand on Sunday. Now, I watched Newcastle, and they were so lucky to win that game.
Yeah.
I thought they would turn it on.
Against the Melbourne team that had a lot of injuries.
They absolutely nearly handed it to Newcastle on a platter. This is the side that I have picked to be in my top four for reasons unknown. And now they've got to go across to New Zealand and win this game.
They had to do that last year in round two of the finals.
Mm.
Round two of the finals, and it did not end well.
No, they got absolutely pumped.
Smashed. Nightmares. I think it's going to be very similar this week. Almost full hands on deck for the Warriors. Obviously no CNK, but Niokore back, Egan back, Dylan Walker back. Those two, Walker and Egan, so important to what they try to do around the middle of the field. Adam Fanua Blake keeps on scoring the first try of the game as a prop, which is nuts. And Roger, like I said it last week, it's very few teams have that guy that you can just give the ball to and he's going to do something. Roger is that. And he did it last week as well. He won them the game just off the back of his pure brilliance. He's so good to watch. Yeah. So glad he's back in rugby league. So.
Yeah, it's so good.
Warriors.
Warriors. Okay. Then on Sunday night, the Sharks host the Raiders. Two teams who I really think fancy themselves, and it's a good test for both.
Yeah.
Craig Fitzgibbon goes into round four with Cronulla missing 491 games worth of experience. Finucane, Royce Hunt, Toby Rudolph are out and joining Braden Hamlin, Ueli on the sidelines. It means Iroh comes in at centre. Talakai goes into the second row and Jack Williams returns to the bench. Daniel Atkinson and Tuku Hau-Tapua are the new faces on the interchange. For Canberra, there is no room for Corey Horsburgh with the Queenslander listed in the reserves. And Mariota returns on the bench in place of Emre Gula, who will play New South Wales Cup. There are a couple of changes in the back line with Chiller coming in for his first NRL game of the year on the wing to replace Albert Hopewadi, who sustained minor burns to his right arm in a cooking accident on Monday night. Seb Chris... Stop laughing, Michael.
Accidents happen.
Seb Chris returns from concussion and Rapana will make his 200th appearance for the club.
Yeah. So just in terms of the Sharks missing their four starting middle forwards.
Yeah.
That's against this big Canberra pack.
Mm.
I think that's a big concern.
Yeah.
It's a real big concern. You got Talakai playing out of position now. I'm really surprised that Corey Horsburgh is not on that
interchange.
Yeah.
I think he will come on there at some point.
Mm.
It's hard to see him not being there.
Yeah.
Considering how good he was last year. And, yeah, I'm going to go Canberra in this one, I think.
Yeah.
Full strength, I think I'd tip Sharks, but no middle forwards. I love Kyle Lira. I think he's a great player. New South Wales Cup Player of the Year 2 years ago, I believe. And, but yeah, just they just against that Canberra pack, which is so big, Tarpanay going up the middle with Papali'i and Morgan Smithies, who's been really good. Yeah, just I'm tipping the Raiders in this one, who've looked strong to start the year.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like we were talking about top fours before, and obviously Cronulla weren't in our eight.
No.
But they have the easiest draw. And they drop a game against the Tigers. They drop this one, theoretically.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It does. Makes you go you're 2-2 instead of people thinking you're 4. I actually thought they would have lost to the Warriors, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Final game of the round, the Easter Monday Classic. Eels hosting the Tigers at CommBank Stadium. Talangi has been thrust into the hot seat at 5-8 following the loss of Mitchell Moses. Did an outstanding job last week, scored on debut. I loved seeing his family in the stands and just good on him. What did he do? Shoulder charge, knockout, Tommy Turbo.
So he made the line break, saw Tom Turbo was the only defender left, and was like, the way I'm winning this contact is I'm going to dive straight into him.
Yeah.
Shoulder first. And it was amazing. Yeah. I haven't seen anyone do that before.
But everyone that's New South Wales Origin fan was like, oh.
I loved it. I thought it was amazing. He's actually a fullback.
Yeah.
Plays Talangi. So playing at six, probably not as a different center is probably a bit more strange to him than six. So
yeah, but let's see how he passes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Sivo returns from suspension. Simonson left in the reserves after sitting out with round three with concussion. And for the Tigers, sole change with Alex Twile ruled out due to concussion. Kapoa takes his spot. Jaden Sullivan will again come off the bench. Aiden Caesar and Lachlan Galvin in the halves. The Tigers will be brimming with confidence. Parramatta will be brimming with confidence. No Moses for Parramatta.
No Cartwright either. I know his name, but I'm pretty sure he's got a broken rib and they had to put in the teams before that was actually diagnosed. So
yeah, so there's a...
I would assume Madison would move into that second row spot.
So there's a half for the Tigers playing his third game and there's a half for the Eels playing the second game. Or 5-8, but in the halves.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Caesar calling a lot of the shots.
Yeah.
And Brown calling a lot of the shots.
Well, I think it's going to be Appy calling a lot of the shots. Yeah. And because of that, I'm going to go with the Tigers.
Mm.
Mm. If Moses plays, I think I tip Eels.
Yeah.
But I'm going Tigers in this one.
So injuries starting to take their toll on the competition.
Yeah, look a lot of games this week that like a 50-50 call, or not 50-50 calls, but swing because of the injuries that we mentioned earlier on.
Yeah, so going through Michael's tips for the week, Michael's tipped hot favourites, the Roosters, over Penrith, Canterbury over Souths, the Cowboys to win in Brisbane, Manly to win in Wollongong, the Dolphins to win on the Gold Coast, the Warriors to get it done at home against Newcastle, the Raiders to win in Cronulla, and the Tigers, who are poetically sitting in ninth spot over the Eels.
I am there's only two locks for me in that.
Yeah, I know.
All the others
they are so touch and go.
Those two locks are the Dolphins over the Titans and the Warriors over the Knights, and every other one I'm like, I have no idea.
Not the Roosters?
No.
No.
Not at all. Penrith are really, they're an amazing team. Even when Nathan goes down, as good as he is, their system still defends better than everyone else and they'll get the job done. So
yeah. Looking at the how good is rugby league ladder. So topping the round were PNT and Erica. Both got 7 out of 8. A lot of sixes and fives and 2 ones. Oh dear. Michael, you're on top on 19 points. Joe Pett is on 17 in second place. And then Messi, Random Saints Guy, and Will Kassar in equal third on 16 points. Everyone else needs to do a bit better.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That's it.
We'll leave it there.
We'll leave it there.
Bit of a longer episode this week than the last two.
Yeah.
But Emmanuel had to get a lot off his chest.
Honestly, what am I going to talk about next week if we lose again? How many times can I repeat this spiel?
I think at that point you just give up and just we'll move on to other things.
Mm.
Yeah, we try and rotate the how goods and the how bads.
Yeah, yeah. At the moment, I'm stuck in how bad and everyone else is having a how good.
All right. We will leave it there. As always, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, follow us on all socials, interact with us if you want to. And one last thing, Emmanuel, how good is rugby league?
How good is rugby league?
Thanks, guys.
Come on, Souths. You've got this.